Looking out over the City of Angels on a warm winter night, what do you see?
Hi, can I ask you a question for the takeaway?
Sure.
All right, you see all those lights out there?
Absolutely.
It's Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
How many of those lights do you think are, like, wasted energy?
I'd say a good portion, maybe, I don't know, 3/4 of it.
Do you think some of them are wasted energy?
Yeah, probably.
Technically, you could turn all of them off.
What I want you to do, I want you to tell LA to turn the lights off.
Don't turn on your lights and waste energy. Yeah.
Hey, guys, if there's any lights you don't really need to use, help us out with the energy and turn them off.
Turn your lights off! Just turn them all off right now! Shut the power switches down! It's not hard! Turn them off!
Not bad, but can our listeners across the country do better? Live from LA and New York, it's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Thursday, February 5th. John is in Los Angeles. And did it work? Did anyone turn off the lights, John?
I think I saw one go off. It might have been going off anyway, but I think I saw one go off last night.
Well, that's certainly a good start. Good morning to you.
Yes. Turn off the light!
And good morning, everyone. Today, we're going to take a hard look at the executive compensation pay cap President Bush says is necessary and fair.
President Obama.
We're only a month in, 2 weeks in. He says it's necessary and fair to pay executives less in this environment. Also, the latest on Iraq's elections. There are no official results yet. And you are in Los Angeles talking about
energy.
There we go. Those stories are coming up. First, these headlines. President Barack Obama signed a bill yesterday that will extend health coverage to 4 million uninsured children. He says the new law is a key step toward universal coverage.
I am confident that if we work together, if we come together, we can finally achieve what generations of Americans have fought for and fulfill the promise of health care in our time.
The bill went to the White House yesterday after passing in the House. It calls for more than $32 billion to fund an expansion of the state children's health insurance program, or SCHIP, as many call it. It's funded by an increase in taxes on tobacco. The Senate voted last night to soften a Buy America clause in the economic stimulus bill that triggered international criticism. It sought to ensure that only U.S. goods were used in infrastructure projects. The Senate says the provision must comply with international trade agreements. John?
Senate Republicans are working to reduce the spending in the stimulus bill. Senator Susan Collins of Maine says it isn't a good way of stimulating the economy.
There's $780 million for pandemic flu preparedness. We do need to increase funding for pandemic flu preparedness, but that should go through the regular appropriations process.
If there's agreement between the Republicans and Democrats, the plan may come to a vote by the end of the week. The Dow begins the day at 79.57. You're energy conscious, sure, but what annoys you when you see other people wasting energy? Do you scream at the city, or what do you do? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. What makes you mad when you see wasting energy?
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
For top executives to award themselves these kinds of compensation packages in the midst of this economic crisis isn't just bad taste, it's bad strategy, and I will not tolerate it as president.
Today may be a new day for some executives on Wall Street. President Obama has announced a new cap on executive pay for those companies getting federal bailout money. Executives in those companies can only make up to $500,000 a year under the rule, which for the majority of Americans is an enormous amount of money, but it's not compared to the tens of millions some company heads have gotten in the past. The president's rule may go over well on Main Street, but it has not gone over well on Wall Street. The real question is, though, will it help the economy? Compensation experts Nell Minow, co-founder of the Corporate Library and Independent Research Firm, and Charles Elson, director of the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, join us now to take a look at the merits of this plan. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nell, you support the cap. Why?
Well, it's really not right to call it a cap. It's just a cap on cash compensation. There's no limit whatsoever on a bonus in the form of stock. The problem is that the stock does not vest until the government has been taken out and paid off, and that it cannot be sold. And I think that that's a great bonus. It doesn't limit how much they can make. It just makes their interests aligned with those of shareholders and taxpayers.
Charles, you have an entirely different view. What do you think of this rule?
Well, I agree with Nell that a stock-based component makes a lot of sense, and I'm also in agreement that the bonuses were this year particularly outrageous and selfish and rather arrogant. I just don't think that an artificial cap on pay makes a lot of sense, really for two different reasons. First of all, I think that there is the danger, unfortunately, when you set a limit, an arbitrary limit on something, that people, don't work for you. They go somewhere else. They, quote, brain drain. I think that's a concern. I think the other concern, though, is evasion. I think that any time you set a fixed rate, people always work very hard to work around it, and they evade it. And that's, I think, what happened back in 1993 when we tried to do something, well, it's not exactly the same thing, but something kind of similar. People simply work their way around the limits. I just think that the key is flexibility, and I think the key is flexibility for a group who we have trust in to do the right thing, the board of these banks, which unfortunately to this point haven't done a very good job. I think our efforts should be focused on reforming them as opposed to setting arbitrary limits.
Well, Charles, maybe the way to reform them is to actually have a brain drain. Maybe we don't need these brains, and we could use some different brains. And as for evading the cap, it seems to me, and Nell sort of alluded to this, that it's not really much of a cap. It only applies to executives from here on out. It doesn't apply to executives who have already received these bonuses and already have their salaries set. And it also seems to only apply to the exceptional circumstance category of money and not to all of the TARP money that goes into some of these financial institutions. Charles?
Well, I would agree. The current management, I don't think we should feel particularly happy about rewarding. And I think it probably in most of these places is time for fresh talent. But I think when you go out to look for fresh talent, again, setting an arbitrary limit, a cash limit at $500,000, I just think could make trouble. Obviously, there will be some people who say no problem, but there may be
I'll say no problem right off the top.
But hey, listen, I'm an academic. They could pay me a lot less if I'd show up. But nonetheless, I think that any time you set an arbitrary limit, you limit the pool of people you can bring in. And I think it sounds great. It goes right to a populist appeal. But I think sometimes populist solutions may backfire. And I worry about the unintended consequences.
Charles,
go ahead now.
I don't agree with my very good friend Charles on this one thing. You know, it's important to remember the government is not acting here as a regulator or as an enforcement arm. It's acting as a business entity. You know, if these companies went to anybody, whether they went to KKR, a private firm, or whether they went to the mob, you know, anybody to loan the money, they would have to give something back. They would have to make concessions about pay. And so this is a very limited, very targeted, very moderate approach that I think will restore credibility. Remember the last time the government did a bailout? That was Chrysler, the then unthinkable amount of $1.5 billion. First thing that happened, Lee Iacocca took a dollar a year and escalated stock options. And you know what? He did very, very well out of it, and so did the taxpayers.
Let's investigate a bit for a second, Charles, your notion of populism, and let's listen to how the president takes a look at populism, but also wraps that into one of the tenets of capitalism.
What gets people upset, and rightfully so, are executives being rewarded for failure, especially when those rewards are subsidized by U.S. taxpayers, many of whom are having a tough time themselves.
Isn't that really the bottom line, Charles? And then the question is, what is the policy to address those differences?
Well, you know, I think my concern here, and I think the group you haven't heard much about, are the shareholders of these beleaguered institutions, who happen to be all of us, because they're extremely widely held. I mean, it's almost not everyone in America has stock in these places, but certainly a lot of people do. I just have belief that, frankly,
we do now.
Well, they do. I have a lot of faith, ultimately, in a board of directors doing the right thing and people acting in good, quote, in good taste. In other words, I think most of the executives of these places should have taken pay cuts voluntarily.
But they didn't. And they haven't.
The problem is that in the UK, when the government bailed out the financial institutions, they took voting stock. The US, we took non-voting stock. So UK, they are making amendments to the boards. Of course, the first thing we should do is focus on these boards of directors. And I would really hope, Charles, that you and your fellow Delawareans would make some changes to the rules so that shareholders could throw out boards of directors by not reelecting them. Right now, it's just too hard to do that. It's just about impossible.
Well, I agree with you, and I think the real change, to me, the focus needs to be on boards a la independence, ownership, and changing the rules of elections to make it easier to place directors. I think that the shareholders of these banks, frankly, should get together at some point and say enough and bring some other people in.
But Charles, what role does the government have in that, if any?
Well, I think that given where these stocks have fallen, I think it's a pretty easy thing for the shareholders to be extraordinarily dissatisfied. And if you take a look at any discourse in the popular media and the financial media, I think you've got a lot of very angry people. There's a campaign out there to replace the CEO of one of these banks, apparently, that began. And, you know, I think that it's happening now. I'm concerned, ultimately, that if you get down talent out of these places and make it harder to invest in these places down the road, the real danger is the future of private investment in any enterprise, which I think would be very harmful to all of us long term. That's my concern.
Well, now let me focus that then on you. I mean, the real question sort of structurally for Barack Obama is, does this kind of a strategy actually restore confidence, stop the sort of anger that Charles is talking about, or does it actually put blood in the water and cause the sharks to kind of circle and ultimately we get the pitchforks out and then we're in a whole other situation?
Listen, I think we would have had the pitchforks out if he hadn't done something. So I think it is a very modest, very measured, very fair approach that, as I said, does not limit pay. It just aligns it with shareholder interests and taxpayer interests. It's a very short-term approach. And I really like the second part of his announcement yesterday, which is that he's going to undertake a more substantive and comprehensive study of this issue and make some changes going forward. You know, he was a sponsor when he was a senator of the say-on-pay legislation, which would give shareholders an advisory, non-binding vote on executive compensation. I think that's a good approach, too.
And, Charles, what do you think the government should be focusing on? If not the compensation issues, then what?
I think the focus needs to be on oversight, the oversight of the group that was there to begin with to make sure this didn't happen, which were the board of directors. I think ultimately they're the shareholders' best friend and, frankly, the taxpayers, if it's done right. And I'm afraid if we get into prescription on things like pay and whatnot, I think we lose sight of the bigger question and the bigger problem, which are boards that who are there on the ground in these institutions. The system was built around that, to operate effectively. And I agree with Nell. I think changes in Delaware law vis-a-vis elections should be forthcoming. But again, I don't want us to lose track and lose focus. That's what happened in 1993, and that's why we're in this mess right now. I think we lost focus on the ultimate problem, which is the oversight vehicle. If we can fix that, I think the rest falls into place.
I think all of us, everyone, would agree that there is certainly a big mess here. And Nell Minow, editor and co-founder of the Corporate Library, an independent research firm, and Charles Elson, director of the Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware, we thank you for your discussion this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And, John, you've been on the West Coast. I think they are still. Clearly have differences, as many people do, but this is not something that's going to be solved in 8 minutes here on The Takeaway. But what we can solve is what you've been doing in Los Angeles, your mission.
Well, we can't solve anything, but we can certainly learn some interesting lessons. You know, there's the sociology and psychology in this as much as there is the science of making new energy production. And that's what we're going to discover as we visit areas that are trying to encourage people to make different energy choices as well as developing new forms of energy entirely. It's an interesting trade-off.
And we're asking for people's pet peeves on energy. 877-8-MY-TAKE.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.